Good morning and welcome to Prayer Unitarian Universalist Society. I am Anna Urbanski. I'm a longtime member here. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic and religious background. We welcome you no matter what your age or your abilities or inabilities, whatever your color, your sexual orientation, your gender identity, or your family structure. Later in the service, we will invite visitors, guests, and returning friends to introduce yourselves so we might get to know you better. On Sunday mornings, we provide a wide variety of services. They are presented either by a Prairie member or by a member of the wider Madison community or by our minister, Reverend Sandy Ingham. Today, Dean Hinman will be presenting Choices. So our opening words will be presented by Mechie Butler.
The purpose of human life is to serve and to show compassion and the will to help others. Albert Schweitzer.
Please welcome Faith Colvin and her granddaughter Isabella to light our chalice.
Go ahead.
We light this chalice as a symbol of our faith. By this light, may our vision be
By its warmth, may our fellowship be encouraged, and by its flame, may our yearnings for peace, justice, and the life of the Spirit be re-enkindled.
Well, this morning our speaker is Dean Hinman, and Dean described himself as a teacher, an author, and about 30 other things. So he's going to talk to us about choices. So welcome, Dean.
Well, it's good to see you. Well, I am glad you're here. And I'm glad I'm here. At my age, I'm glad I'm anywhere. With all the trouble I've created by not standing behind the podium, I want to tell you why. A few years ago, I was traveling around giving talks on the power of positive thinking. And I was giving this talk to a bunch of bank people. And right down in the front, I was standing behind a huge podium. And right down in front, I heard a woman say to her, I think her husband, "He's really good. And you know, he can make himself invisible." So I decided from then on that I would not stand behind a podium unless I forgot to put my pants on that morning. I want to tell you a story about something that happened to me quite a few years ago. I was living in the high desert in New Mexico, 30-some miles south of Santa Fe, way back in the boonies. We were all off the grid. Nobody could see one another's houses. We had 40-acre lots. And I bought an old mobile home for $3,000, had it dragged out there. And I was going to develop the property, and I did, but I was going to develop the property. The problem was I didn't have any money, and I was writing in the morning. You know, most writers are poor, and that was me. I was writing in the morning and working on the property in the afternoon, and I decided I needed to take a break. I wanted to travel down to Mexico, and of course, where I was living, I wasn't that far north of the border. And all I had for transportation was an old, small Toyota pickup. So I figured if I'd get a shell topper, put that in there, and throw in a piece of foam, I was ready to go. And there was a used one for sale in Santa Fe. So I had just enough money scraped up, and I went into Santa Fe, 32 miles north. I got the topper, and I tied it on with a rope to take it home. And I got home, and fine with it. But the next morning, I got up, and I got word that I had to go back into town for something. So I drove out through the juniper in my truck, and I got out to this horrible rocky road that would lead to the highway, and the darn topper slid off. So I knew I was in a neighborhood of caring people. I figured I could just drag it off into the ditch by my driveway, go on about my business. But when I got back, the topper was gone. And I was surprised. So I made a sign. There was a general store called, in a little town, used to be a coal mining town called Madrid, about 3 miles from where I lived. And at the intersection of the terrible road and the highway, it was another intersection. So I made two signs that said basically, I know that you see the world as one large support system, not a dog-eat-dog world, so please bring back my topper. I put the sign in the two places that I mentioned. And I got up the next morning and I checked. My topper was back. It made me feel real good. I got to thinking about that incident a little while back, and I thought, maybe it's true that sometime in life, consciously or unconsciously, we make a choice whether the world, all 7 billion of us, are a big support system, or we take the choice that it's a dog-eat-dog world and it's a struggle. And as I thought about that, I realized that I wanted to be the former. I wanted to see the world as one big support caring system. By the way, what I'm going to be talking about here today, I know you already know because I've seen you in action, that you are a caring support system here. But I wanted to be sure that I was getting better at it. I figured that was one reason for being on this planet. More mindful of caring about others than my own self. And so I developed something that I carry in my pocket that when I get to be too much into myself, I can reach in my pocket. And I feel, I said, okay, Dean, hold on here. It's about all of us. It's not just about you. And so what I'm going to ask Peter to do now, with some help, is to give one of those to each of you along with a card. And it's yours to keep. And by the way, if you want to take extra ones for children, grandchildren, or something, please do. But be sure to take a card and a little round glass tile. And then when you get it, I'll explain it to you. Remember, there's about 100 of them, so you can feel free to take more than one. Okay. You got it? Thank you, Peter. So if you look at the card, you turn the side towards the printing of the Earth, where it says Spaceship Earth. And that's what we are, our planet with all the human beings on it. hopefully we can hold hands like that little animated figure shows. If you turn it over, so the heart is at the top, I better get my one out so I can read it the way it is. Oh, you got one there? Thank you, Peter. We are living on a spaceship called Earth, and all 7 billion of us on the planet are the crew. The more we care about one another, the more healthy will be the planet, the more peaceful and joyful will be the crew. In other words, when we can, me, become we. So a symbolic way to change me to we is to take your tile, if everybody will take a hold of it now, hold up, take a look at the flat side till you see the me. You got it? Everybody got that? Then you tip it over vertically. So you're looking at the rounded side. And what does it say? That's right. So this is a symbolic way of changing me to we. I want to tell another little story. You may consider true or not, but at my age, whatever it is about the world, somebody somewhere decided that I'd better have a preview of hell, so I know what I might be getting into, and a preview of heaven. And so this guide took me down to hell, and he opened the door to hell. And I walked in, and here was this huge banquet table. People sitting around this huge table. And scrumptious food was actually being brought in on trays. I said, this is hell? Then I saw that their eating utensils were 6 feet long. No, and then I realized why they were so glum. All that food, how can you eat with a 6 foot fork? So the guide took me to the next door. He said, this is heaven. I walked in. It was the same thing. Big banquet table. People just about to be served, and the food was coming in, and it looked so scrumptious. But those people didn't look glum. They were smiling, and they looked happy. And I said to the guide, well, this is the same as hell, but why are these people looking happy? He said, well, the people who come here believe that the world is one big support system, and they feed each other. He didn't get it. At any rate, that's a pretty wild guess, if there is a heaven or hell, as to what it's like. The science and guys and gals have begun to realize through all the research, that when we see something really nice being done by somebody, that it actually has an effect on our bodies and our mind. And for example, it might be as simple as you're in a store and you see a parent and the children or teenagers or older together, and they're laughing and having a good time, and you can see a lot of appreciation of one another and love. Or it can be something really big, like a friend of mine in Albuquerque, whose wife was far along with Alzheimer's, But she had always loved to go out and eat. So every morning he took her out to eat, and he had to feed her. She didn't even know who he was, and she couldn't control the utensils to eat, but she could enjoy food. So he had to feed her. Food would be falling down on her dress. And Jim Harper, the man that told me about it, well, I met him and his wife, she's passed away now, said that probably about half the time that they were going to go pay the bill, somebody had already paid it for them. Somebody in the restaurant had seen them and it had warmed their heart and paid the bill. So what it means is, and what they determined is by science, is that when you see somebody doing something nice, it motivates you to want to be loving and caring. It's infectious. It's sort of like the poem, Smiling. Maybe some of you know this poem. Smiles are infectious. You catch them like the flu. Someone smiled at me today. I started smiling too. I went around the corner and somebody saw my grin. And when he smiled at me, I realized I'd passed my smile on to him. I thought about that smile and I realized it's worth a single smile like mine can travel around the earth. So when you feel a smile begin, don't leave it undetected. Let's start an epidemic quick and get the whole world infected. Now I'd like to know what you think about this. I know that this is a big part of your life. What are your thoughts? Is that pretty intimidating to ask? Well, it's my belief that we're gaining, that the we is gaining.
Yeah.
When we look at some of the things that occurred when we were young, and for me that means 80 years ago. I lived in Beloit. Just through the years I was going through high school, we had a wonderful swimming pool. It was the most beautiful swimming pool you could imagine. But the black kids couldn't go there. And you look at what happened following the Civil War and how long ago that was and how long it's taking for us to help see people of a different color than our predominant white as equal to us. And I think that, so there are big signs of gain, but it's a good question. And I think if we think about the fact that the we is infectious and it feels heck of a lot better than the me, that we're going to gain out. Maybe that's why we're here, like this gentleman that spoke of karma. I could add something to your comment too, because I was on watching YouTube and a producer had worked out this situation where he hired an actor to get on either a streetcar or a bus. If you've ever ridden the buses around, your people are like this, you know, so separated, even though they're sitting near one another. But this actor was hired to get on and start giggling. So he sat down, he started to giggle, and he giggled, and it became laughter. And pretty soon, everybody on the bus was laughing. They didn't know why, but it was only because he was laughing. It's a beautiful thing to watch, like you said. I think what we need is to get away from the popular media, which thrives on bad news. If you go to goodnewsnetwork.org, you can get your daily dose of good news. I mean, there is way more good news going on in the world than there is bad. Way more. The other one is dailygood.org. And there's just so many good things happening, like some of them you just pointed out, that you never hear about on the news. And it's not good to think that to be into the frame of mind that we're living in a world and we should be fearful. How about TV commercials? You know, have you checked your car insurance policy? You know, they're going to just scare the dickens out of you so you buy their whatever it is they're selling. Yeah, Mondragon. The talk we had a couple of weeks ago is a perfect example, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Of people cooperating and caring about one another and the whole, everybody in the organization thriving. Thank you very much. It's been such a joy to be with you and to hear your talk.
Thank you, Dean. It was wonderful. Thanks very much, Dean, for sharing that with us and for generating a lot of really interesting discussion. Our closing words will be read by Nevena Smith.
As you grow older, you will discover that you have two hands, one for helping yourself, the other for helping others. Audrey Hepburn.
And we are finished now, and thank you for coming. Please extend the hand of friendship to those around you, and please stay for coffee and conversation, and maybe a little treat left over from yesterday. So. All right, we're done.